This is Hawkseye Guns Podcast. Hello and welcome to Hawkseye Guns Podcast. We have a great show for you today. Jake and I, just before the cast here, or just before we start recording on this show, we're just talking about the guns that I said I wouldn't buy that, and said over the years that I've hated, that I have purchased in the last couple of months, and for some strange reason have liked every one of them. Jake points out that, rightly so, I guess, that we've had very little in the way of guns that I don't like here in the recent purchasing past for me.
We haven't had one. I hate this.
Well, we almost had one in the CT-10 or the 105 CTI. I almost bought that. And then, you know, like I realized very quickly that this was... It really was a bad idea. you really don't want one of those. Like, there was a reason they discontinued it. There was a reason they only made it for a very, very limited amount of time. There was a reason, like, that you can search the name Remington 105 CTI. And the first thing that comes up is, like, broken parts, complaints, you know, what to do when it jams.
y'all suck, you know?
It's not a happy time. All right. It's not to pick on them, but it's a little bit like the Remington V3, you know, like the Remington V3 was finicky. It was finicky, much like the Winchester 1400. I think the Winchester 1400 at one time, which is an automatic shotgun, semi-automatic shotgun, I think it was voted one of the three worst automatic shotguns ever made one point. I mean, it's like...
And there's a lot of bad ones out there.
Oh, there's some really terrible ones. I've owned half of them. No. I'm sure I can make it work. They were probably just bad examples of a fantastic gun. No, they weren't. They were terrible. They were terrible then. They're terrible now. The only one, and I am ashamed to admit this now, the only one that I dared to defend for a little while was my poor Ithaca. My Ithaca Model 51. I had, for those of you who don't go far enough back in this cast,
I remember that one.
Yeah, then in 2020, 2021, I think I got it in 2019 or 2020, and it was beautiful to shoot. It was soft. It was quick to swing. It was a lovely gun to shoot until it breaks, and they all of them break. And the Model 51 was basically terrible. By all standards and measures, it would snap its own action bars, and they were known for doing this. Right,
this was the one that you actually had to have like the action bar like literally machined back again.
Yeah, I welded it. Yeah, no, I literally did. I welded it back together and then ground it down to run correctly. And then I put it in the gun, ran about five rounds through it, and it snapped in another place along further down the action bar. And I had to take it all back apart, weld that weld back together. And then it did it again. And then I posted the story, and then a gentleman who had one of these was like, oh, my God, you can fix this, and sent me his action bars, which snapped in exactly the same way as mine. I fixed it, sent it back to him, and I thought about the time I mailed it, I was like, you know, I probably should have just snapped the front of it and then rewelded it again, because I bet you he's going to have the same problem I did. And then exactly the same thing happened to him. It snapped in the front. He sent it back to me. I welded the front of it back together and then sent it back to him. I loved the gun. I did. I loved the gun. I thought it was great. It shot wonderfully. It was a lovely gun to shoot. And I was going to keep it. And somebody who had had one when he was a kid and his action bars snapped, go figure. And it was ruined because back then, you know, the internet didn't exist and he couldn't figure out how to fix it. So he just junked the gun. Offered to buy it for about three times what I had in it.
And yes, sir.
I'm like, here you go. I'm like, realize I don't want this thing to darken my doorstep again. Like, if you break it, you just remember it's your problem now.
Take it and move on.
Yeah. Which is funny because it hasn't broken again. He's taken it out hunting. He's gotten several birds with it and he's just delighted as could be. I mean, it was restored. It was in lovely condition. I redid the stocks. I re-blued the part of the barrel that was having problems and all that stuff. It was a lovely, lovely gun. As long as it didn't break on you. And he enjoyed it. He thought it was the best thing ever. So I okay. Like, I'm not going to argue with you, but I was like, damn, man. I have experience with guns that are crappy that nobody should be using. there's a history of that with me. I had an old A5 from like the turn of the century, you know, that had the big piston in it, like the piston for heavy loads, and it would just smack the crap out of your shoulder. I think I shot it like, I didn't even shoot a full box out of it. No, you know what? I didn't even shoot a full magazine out of it, and I was like, well, that's great. That's gonna get sold, and I did. Like, this is, well,
we've
terrible.
All had that. I mean, my last one was the one that I ended up getting rid of my last HK for, and then turned out and shot it and went, shit. Any chance your dad wants to trade back?
He's like, nope.
No.
He's not letting that go. He went and gave me actual money for that.
And once again, also diminishes this argument of American made only.
Yeah.
It's one of the German varietals.
One of the German varietals. Oh, God, that's such a nice gun. You know, like, and my brother stole the other Ithaca I had. I had a little Ithaca XL900 made by SKB, which is basically a Japanese gun. It was a lovely gun. My brother just freaking flat out stole it. He's like, this is great. Threw a couple $100 at me for it. And has not turned it loose since. He loves it. Absolutely loves it. Loves that gun. I'm like, Scott, it's a 20-gauge SKB. He goes, yeah, it's fantastic. And my brother's bigger than me. He's about your size and probably an inch and a half taller than I am, or at least maybe 2 inches taller than I am. Big dude. Okay, little bitty 20-gauge automatic. Loves it. Absolutely won't shoot anything else as far as a shotgun goes. And he's a big Kimber guy. He loves Kimbers. I have yet to figure out why, because they're really finicky.
Yes.
Just like super finicky. And I'm like, Scott, why don't you, like, can we do some like, why do you I can only shoot this ammunition through this gun. I'm like, really? He goes, yes, only this. In this grain weight from this manufacturer, that's all I can shoot out of this. And I'm like, that doesn't seem very fun. Like, what if they run out of that? Then I'm not shooting this. Like, wow. Okay. You know, like, I don't know. Like, do you own a Kimber? I don't know if you
No,
do.
I do not. I don't actually own a 1911 at the moment.
It's not that I mind the Kimbers. It's not even that I think they're a bad gun. They're not. They're fine, but they're really finicky for me, and I really resent that every time I run up against
it. Look, I mean, I know I'm a bit of a brand snob, but if I really were going to buy a high-end 1911, it would probably be a 6-hour.
Who would have guessed Jake would pick the 6-hour?
Yeah, once again, I did say brand snob.
Okay, barring the SIG, what would you get?
That's an interesting one, because I mean, they got a bunch of 1911s out there. Anything above and beyond that, I would end up probably spending just a disgusting amount of money on, because there's a lot of them out there that are almost like, if I was going to spend that amount of money, I'd probably go out and buy one of those customized ones for competition shooting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, spend $4,000 or $5,000 on it. Once again, we're talking like if. And it's a very, very, very big if.
See, if I was going to do something like that, it would almost have to be like one of the Terran tactical varietals.
Well, but that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And it's actually, see, and the first part about it is because I've got the brain of a flea today, I'm having trouble remembering. I'm actually sitting here trying desperately to look it up. There was somebody recently who just tacked out the hell out of a 1911. Actually, it wasn't even a 1911. It was a 2011. It was a double stack 9mm 1911. And it wasn't the one from John Wick.
Not the Pit Viper?
There was another one that... And I'm just trying desperately to figure out which one it was that I was like, oh, that would be it. But I remember the price tag on it being somewhere in the nature of $8,000.
Wow. I mean, hell, that's more than a Pit Viper. Because, I mean, the John Wick 4
exactly.
Pit Viper is $7,000.
But even then, that's why I'm sitting there going, this is like pure fantasy speaking.
Yeah. I mean, like if you know, $1 million was a cheeseburger, you know, like who cares? Money. Like you had unlimited funds, I would just order one of everything from the TTI catalog. You know, like
you'd basically walk into the store and go, "I'll take it."
Yeah, you know, my favorite scene in a movie is The Highwayman, when Kevin Costner goes into the old timey store with basically a catalog.
Yeah,
and he's like, "I want the BAR." I want the riot gun. You want the 20-inch or the 18-inch? No, I want the short barrel. I want, you know, the Thompson with like 12 sticks and a couple of drums. I want the lever action.
Kill some folks.
Exactly. You got anything that's not nickel? That's too shiny. I believe I do, sir. You know, and he hands him the Smith. You know, and he just gets all this stuff, and he's like, "Well, I guess that'll do it." Which one? All of them.
All of them.
I so like, you know, and the only reason he didn't actually have all that money, it's the only reason he did is because his wife was rich and she wanted him to come home, you know, like spend whatever you got to spend on the guns. I don't care. Can you imagine that? Okay. All right. Here's the scenario. You are the highwayman, except it's 2024. You are going to ambush Bonnie and Clyde coming in the new age. It would probably be a Dodge Charger. You're going to ambush Bonnie and Clyde on a country road. What guns do you take with you?
On a country? Oh, well, before you said country road, I was thinking we're going to make this real easy and simple. If this comes down to all I have to do is kill them from it on a country road, shit, just take a 50 BMG from a mile and a half away. And, you know, that's easy.
Boom. But yeah, they're coming around the bend. You're going to ambush them on the country road because you're scared Bonnie and Clyde are going to shoot you.
Do I get to take anybody with me? Am I by myself?
No. You get a posse. You get like four or five guys with you, just like they did.
Okay. Well, at that point in time, what you've got is a couple of people out there with shotguns in order to take out the tires and then keep pumping them into the thing. And then you've got somebody with probably an AR platform of some fashion or form or the other with... Well, I mean, I'm not going to go 300 blackout just because you need the velocity. Probably something in a 5.56. That's just start pumping them into the car.
I can't argue with your logic. Although I would be, if I was on the posse with you, I would be one of the shotgun guys.
Oh yeah. But then you start with the tires to keep them from moving, and then you go in, and then the people with the ARs just open up, and next thing you know, you've got. Sonny Corleone at the toll booth.
See, for me, probably the
only difference is that if you're shooting 5.56s and non-armor piercing 5.56s at that, you've got a whole lot less of Sonny Corleone left.
See, for my money, I think I'm either taking the Mossberg tacked out, like a tacked out Mossberg 12 gauge.
Well, so that's the thing is I don't know enough about the shotguns to say which one I would do. I mean, my first inclination would be the 590 from Mossberg, but that's because that's what I know.
Right.
I don't know if there's anything better out there. So it'd be like, yeah, no, your first shot's towards the tires. Next, you know, just start filling the cab with as much buckshot as you can.
Yeah. See, in a life or death situation, I probably would take a pump action with me because I know it won't jam. Right. And I want a long tube. So probably either a Mossberg retrograde or
you're not planning on holding them up against the wall at the end of the barrel while you reload to pump another one into them.
You know, I'm probably not going to do it John Wick style. No, I don't like have those tactical skills. So I would either do a Mossberg 500 retrograde or a Benelli Nova, believe it or not, or Supernova. You know, that I know like it's indestructible, won't jam, and I'm just going to load as much buckshot as I can.
Well, the only other thing I was thinking of is an AR with a 7.62 platform. But then again, at that point in time, what you end up with is something that runs a higher risk of jamming on you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now there is the complete wrong answer to this, and it's the hilarious wrong answer, which is whatever you do, you don't take a Mini 14 because then you just won't hit nothing. You know, you may blow the car up, it may flip over, but nobody's dying.
Yeah. A-team rules, you know.
You can fire off. You might as well be a stormtrooper at that point.
You know, it's one of those things where you look at it and go, okay, what would you actually do? Because these people were, I mean, like Bonnie and Clyde have been very romanticized and everything, but they were very mean and vicious people. They killed several.
Yeah.
They had no, you know, no disillusion, you know, no compunction at all about killing a cop. You know, they didn't care. And that you knew if they got a hold of something, they were going to kill you. And so you have to have something which you're absolutely sure will work and absolutely are sure will not cause any more problem for you than you're already in. And for me, that's a pump action shotgun. It's a pump action 12 gauge. It is the weapon system I am most familiar with at close range, which is what that thing happened at close range. For me, it's going to be a pump action 12 gauge because I know that weapon system.
Well, and that's why I asked, you know, are we talking country road in the woods, you know, because under those circumstances, yeah, you got to get close. If you're just talking down the road and you can see them from that far off, you know, a 50 BMG will take out the car and them.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's Jake laying on a mat with a BMG. Big ass. Boom. You know, the Barrett goes and then the car just flips over and ignites. Yeah. And then Jake's got plenty of time to reload.
Exactly. As I said, you get the right angle on it. You get it goes through the engine block and them at the same time.
Yeah, I mean that's really. I mean, wasn't that designed for an anti-personnel vehicle or anti-vehicle weapon anyway?
If I remember correctly, I may get this a little bit wrong, but if I remember correctly, it was specifically designed to take the engine block out of a tank.
If that's true, that's incredible.
Okay. But, or at the very least, the engine block out of an armored vehicle of some fashion, form, or the other.
I know in the desert, they were using it to shoot people behind a cinder block wall.
Well, yeah, they somewhere along the line, somebody went, you know what this will do to a person, right?
like it will delete them. Like, I don't care what they're standing behind. It will delete them.
That's armor? No.
Like that doesn't matter. I don't care what level of plate they're wearing. This is gonna go through it. I mean, it's like oof. That's just incredible to me. That's that whole weapon system. I've never fired one.
I think I'd be terrified of it. I mean,
oh my God.
I think the only thing I really, really enjoy watching people shoot him is when they actually have, you know, a hot chick in tight pants laying on the ground shooting him, and it just puts enough therm that it makes their ass ripple.
It is a fantastic photo shoot. There's a girl who specializes. She's a big, tall redhead, used to be in the military, who specializes that on that in TikTok. And she uses those big, you know, and she's a recoil queen anyway. She uses those big ass Barretts. And you're just like, holy crap. I would, like, I'd wife that so fast. It's not even funny. <You know? laughs> Like, holy crap.
And she's the type of would look at you with your, 6.2 Creedmoor?
6.5 Creedmoor, yeah.
6.5 Creedmoor. See, I've been out of the game far too long. They would look at you with your 6.5 Creedmoor and go, oh, in that cue.
In the cue. Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, not even 7mm. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, it would totally be like that. But, yeah. Oh, before we go, I did want to mention something else that I saw come out. They missed SHOT Show with it, and it just came out really recently. In fact, I think the launch came out for it earlier this week, which is the first week in March here, and that's the Weatherby Sorix.
And okay,
it is a.
I'll admit I don't keep up that much on Weatherby.
Well, you know, it's another American brand, and it's they've been kind of the king of the hill of the waterfowl guns recently has been the Benelli Super Black Eagle 3, right? That's okay. Just been kind of, if you're going to get the one, it's either that or the Browning Maxis, right? Like, those are the kings of the waterfowl guns. And apparently Weatherby was about tired of that. And they came out with the Sorix just last week. And it's about $500 cheaper than an S Super Black Eagle. And it's got all the same features. It's made in the United States. And it is beautiful. I don't even like camo guns. And this thing is gorgeous. But it's got the oversized controls. It's got the like three or four different patterns of camo. And the bolt is reversible, so you can use it for lefties or righties. And it is really pretty. The Storm is the one I would kind of gravitate to, because it's all like tones of gray and it looks gorgeous, and it's all Cerakoted, and it's like titanium colored Cerakoting, and it's just really pretty. But apparently They have gotten tired of kind of sucking hind tit to the Super Black Eagle and the Maxis and come to play. And it is absolutely gorgeous. It's an inertia-driven 12-gauge system at this point. They don't have a 20-gauge out yet. It listed on their website, but I have not seen anybody with a 20-gauge gun. But it has all the same features that the top-of-the-line guns have, and it looks really good. It looks really good. So I've been thoroughly impressed with it, just in the little bit I've seen and the kind of press that I've seen for it. It's got a fiber optic bead. Yeah, it's got all the stuff.
I can't think of Weatherby without thinking of some British person wearing knickerbockers out there doing doing stalking, and, you know, what firearm do you have? I have a Weatherby.
A Weatherby, my fine man. Yeah, a little bit. Weatherby? It kind of does sound like that, you know. But I mean,
a very dignified shotgun.
Well, you know, their rifles are world class. They have some really fine rifles, and
well,
they have
not going to be dignified without being world class.
They do some really cool stuff, and it's not exactly, sort of like you. It's not exactly who you think of when you think of, like, world-beating shotguns, although they've been around for a very long time, and I'm
completely aware of Weatherby. I you know, we've had them on the shelf. It's just not one of those things that when I think shotgun, I think Weatherby.
You know, I had an SA-08 Deluxe, back in the day. And it was a nice gun. It wasn't anything special.
Such a nice gun.
It was nice. It was not... Like, I looked at it and was like, this is okay. I mean, it wasn't sexy. It wasn't, like, the best or whatever. My Buona shoots the Weatherby Orion, which is their newest over and under, and he loves it to death. It's just a wonderful gun for I think he paid $800 for it right when it came out. It's nice. It's not fancy. This is the first one I've seen, you know, the first Weatherby I've seen, the Sorix, that's literally going after the top of the class. I mean, it's right there with the Super Black Eagle. So I'm like, oh crap, you know, they came to play this time. That's gonna be nice. So I they're really taking a shot at the top slot with the Sorix, and it looks really cool. So if you guys haven't checked it out, Sorix, for those of you who are looking for it, if you go to the Weatherby page, it's right at the top. They just came out with it last week, like I said, and it looks fantastic. So I really kind of want to get my hands on it.
It helps if you spell that correctly.
Yeah, Sorix, yeah.
Oh, no, I was talking about me, not you.
Oh. So, I mean, it's absolutely...
I'm just hoping to come up with a picture of the sucker. Ooh, wow, that is pretty.
It looks cool, doesn't it?
Oh, that's pretty.
Yeah. They got some really cool...
I like the Cerakoting they did on it.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan. I can handle tech out black, and of course, you know, the wood finish is always nice. I still cannot get my brain around the camo finish ones.
You know, I don't normally like a camo finish, but this is hand-painted. Each one is hand-painted with like sponge paint and stuff like that. And it's in the gray one, which is the Storm.
Yes, I'm looking at that right now.
Really good. I mean, it's got a titanium finish Cerakote. It looks good.
I like the Cerakoting. The action and receiver.
Yeah.
God, why is my brain, like, as I said, flea today? The receiver is absolutely stunning, especially, as you said, that gray Cerakoted one. And it hit nicely and says, big letters down the side says, Weatherby.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
But no, it's pretty. I just, as I said, I'm having a hard time wrapping my brain around the camo finish. But other than that, it's a pretty gun.
It really is. It really is. I'm pretty stoked about that one. They've got it some really cool colors. They got it some really cool. Although the slew is probably more.
What is the shift system?
Okay, the shift system. All that means is you can swap the bolt from right hand to left hand. So if you look at the shift system, it's got a slot. Yeah, it's got a slot at the back or on the left side of the gun where you can take the bolt lever and pop it out of the right side, put it in the left side, so you can have a left-handed shooter work the firearm.
Okay, I'm looking at the different colors here. We had the one that you called Storm. There's the other, the more black color that is called Marsh. Did you see what the tan-colored one is called?
The Slew.
Oh, I'm glad that's pronounced, because I was sitting there reading it as Slough, and all I kept thinking is... I love you, Slough. I love you too, Chunk. I'm like, I can't believe they named a gun. Okay, so I'm glad that has a different pronunciation that I was reading that wrong. Thank you.
Yeah, and what's funny is the Slough is probably the one that would, like if I was using it to hunt with, was probably the one that would most match my kind of...
Environment
where I go. But I have problems with tactical peanut butter colored guns. I'm not in the desert, although this is made for like West Texas, you know, and like kind of Western areas like that. But I just, it's sort of like my father can't bring himself to wear camo pants, like traditional Vietnam jungle camo pants, because he's like, I'm not in the jungle. I don't need this. Right, like, he can't bring himself
Robert
to do
Williams,
that.
What's with all the camo? You're in the jungle. I can't see you. It's... Make a statement. If you're going to fight, clash.
It's so freaking good. So underrated, that movie. But I mean, it looks great. It really does. It looks great. I love the Storm version of it. Just all in gray tones and silver and everything. It just looks super classy. You know what? The Midnight Marsh is probably going to be the one that everybody gets, but God dang, the Storm looks sexy.
Oh, I think if I had to pick one, it would definitely be the Storm.
Oh, it's good looking. It's a good looking gun. You know, it's got a cutout lift and mechanism so that you don't get your fingers stuck even with gloves in.
I was just noticing that.
Yeah, it's really sexy. I mean, it's kind of angular. It's got a beautiful receiver. It's really nice looking.
As they say, it's a new era of Weatherby shotguns.
It is. It's also very expensive. These things are about $1,400. So,
I just looked up Google pictures of them. I didn't actually look up the website to see how much they cost.
Yeah, they're about $1,400. They're $1,500 really. So, like retail, you're probably going to wind up seeing them for about $1,400 or $1,399, which is a lot for a hunting gun. I'm not going to hunt with.
Exactly.
it's so much. You know, I could literally buy 5 Winchester SXPs for what it would cost for this thing. I could buy one for me and all of my friends to shoot for the cost of one of these Storms or one of these Sorexes. But God dang, it's pretty. Such a pretty gun. But anyway, that's the last thing I had. They had missed SHOT Show, and they had just kind of shown up again. And I loved it to death. I thought it was sexy as hell.
Well, there wasn't a whole lot really all that exciting at SHOT Show.
You know what? That's kind of true. That's kind of true. Here, this last SHOT Show, there wasn't any like new gun other than the Smith & Wesson lever action.
I still cannot believe what they were asking for that.
$2,500? No, thank you.
Actually, I'm curious again. Hold on for me for just a minute.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I can't imagine paying $2,500 for a Smith & Wesson that didn't say, you know, like Super Cobra or Python on the side, you know. But that's not even a Smith & Wesson. That's a Colt. So, I mean, I can't imagine. I can't imagine what I'd pay that much for a Smith for.
Yes, I'm 18 years old. Leave me alone. No, I don't want $20 off.
No, I don't want it.
Okay, a gray stainless 4570 Marlin is going for $1,700. That's the 1895. The 1894 Classic 38 Special is going for $1,100. Oh wow, here's a big boy side gate Henry. Those have actually finally come down. That one's only $899.
Oh, there you go.
Here we go. Right, Smith and Wessel model 1854 black stainless 44 Magnum 19.25 inch barrel, 9 rounds for $1,999.99.
Nope.
They literally have the Henry that I have right next to it for $899.99.
Yeah.
You could buy 2 of those.
Yeah, literally 2 of them for what it would cost. And honestly, dude, I'd rather have the Henry.
And the worst part about it is the benefit of the doubt that I was giving them, just because it's a stainless steel finish, is I thought they were trying to do something like the all-weather Henry.
Yeah.
But no, it's not. It's just a stainless steel finish.
I don't understand that then. I know that's bad, but it's just like, no. I mean, like, if you were going to go buy a Smith & Wesson 350 Legend, right? Those are about, what, $1,500, $1,600?
Yeah, but there's a reason they call it a Legend.
Yeah. I mean, like, it wouldn't be my first choice, but I mean, I could see if somebody wanted to have that. for my money, I'd probably go with like a Model 19, you know, like a short barreled Model 19. And even those are like over a grand now. It's just like, I know there's Smith fans. Okay. I know there's Smith fans and dyed in the wool Smith guys who will go out there and pay that for a lever.
I promise you, if you buy the Henry, you're getting a better rifle.
I know this makes me sound like a Henry snob, but I kind of think you are. I mean,
just that simple. I mean, look, I wouldn't say the same thing for Gensel, for example, like between a Smith & Wesson M&P and a SIG P320. I know which one of them I prefer, but I'm not going to tell you that one of them is specifically better than the other. With this, I'm telling you, if you bought a Henry, you're going to get a better rifle than what this is.
For my money, it would go in this order for a lever action. Let's say just a lever action of the caliber that you want, be it 44 mag or 30-30 or you know, big ass 454, you know, whatever, right? Of your chosen caliber, for my money, it would go Henry, Marlin, then the Smith.
Oh no, I'd even throw a Ross in before the Smith. Go buy the discount for $638.
Oh, man, I can't imagine paying twice what a Henry would bring for a Smith & Wesson. I just don't think they're worth two Henrys anymore.
Or three Rossies for that amount.
I realize they carried a Mystique at one time. I just don't think they're that much better. I mean, they're living on their name at this point. I don't see what makes this better than a Henry. And I've had my hands on a Henry and a Marlin. And I haven't seen anything that anybody has shown me that says that this is better than either one of those two.
Here's a tactical 357 lever action from Citadel Firearms for $839.99. And once again, you could almost get three of those.
Yeah. I mean, and this isn't like...
Oh, even better. Here's a Winchester Model 94 for $1,132.99. Brand new.
You're like, right now. Right, brand new, right now.
Taylor and Company, who's known for making cowboy replicas for $1,500. Cimarron for which once again they're into making a lot of the cowboy replica stuff for $1,300.
I forgot about the Cimarrons. See, I just don't know. I mean, like,
I can't wrap my brain around the fact that it is the most expensive rifle in this list.
Yeah, I don't see it. My problem is I don't see why. Like, it's not the materials. Because Henry makes every bit as good a materials. It isn't like it's some kind of presentation grade firearm, right? Like it's got synthetic stocks.
The presentation grade Kiapa Firearms 1865 Spencer Walnut 30-inch for $2,400. But once again, that's a showpiece.
Right. That's you put that on the wall, right? And maybe you take it out one day and shoot it. But generally speaking, that's a presentation gun. I can understand if they were saying like if you go to Smith & Wesson's website, there's like these 1 of 100, you know, 1854 plus model 29 combo things that they're selling on GunBroker for like $32,000 a pop. I think that's overpriced as well, but still, I can understand if you're doing like numbered, only making 100 or only making 50 of these combos. They are matching serial numbered, presentation grade. Got a plaque, got a certificate from the manufacturer. I can understand that. I don't understand this is a regular hunting lever action with synthetic stocks. Twice as much as a Henry or Marlin. Like I don't get it. Like
I think the Marlins that have come out are even overpriced.
You know, I understand some of the some of the hype with the Marlins stuff. There's a lot of nostalgia, just like there is with the Henry. There's a lot of nostalgia. They're made by Ruger now, so they've fixed a lot of the stuff that Marlin, perhaps because Marlin was owned by, again, Remington, and there was nothing going on as far as innovation or fixing things. And Ruger said, no, we're going to fix it. And they did. I get that. I get that you want that Ruger precision in a Marlin thing. I get that. I don't particularly have a problem with that, to be quite honest. The thing that bothers me is you can still go get a classic series Marlin for almost $800 less with black walnut, with a gold trigger, with fine checkering, and even a buffalo hide strap, and it's still going to cost you $800 to $1,000 less than the Smith. Now, tell me how that works.
I'm still scrolling on this page, just going after... shit, here's a Heritage if you want to go that direction you can get for $400.
Yeah, but that's 22 long rifle.
Yeah, true. But still, I guess I'm what I'm doing is I'm scrolling down here just trying to find something to justify that pricing that I'm missing. You know?
Yeah, that's the part that I don't understand.
IFG 1886 Sporting Walnut 4570 26 inch. Once again, that one's $2,200, but once again, walnut.
I mean, you can get the walnut in Henry or walnut from Marlin, and it's still $800 to $1,000 less. Now, you explain that to me when Winchester or when the Smith has got a freaking synthetic stock on it. Like, what are you doing?
Here's one that just flat out shouldn't exist, which is the Patriot Ordnance Factory Tombstone, which is a lever action on an AR lower for a 9mm. That shouldn't even exist.
You're like, I don't know what that's for. Okay,
yeah,
so
I can't see anything here that justifies that price. Something I'm missing, because once again, it is still, with the exception of the all walnut showpieces, it is the most expensive firearm on the list.
If you want to, you can get a Winchester Model 1873. Short barrel lever action for $1,400. $1,300. You can get it case hardened with filigree and engraving for $22. I don't see, and it's like a, you know, limited production run and stuff like that. Like explain to me what we're doing here at Smith. You know, like I get the nostalgia, but at some point you just got to go, damn.
I think I know what I'm watching. I think I've got to go find some people see if anybody has actually reviewed that sucker, just to see if there's got to be something I'm missing. You know, maybe Such has reviewed it, because, you know, he finds something positive to say about every firearm he reviews. So somewhere along the line, somebody's got to have something to say about it. I've got to be missing something. There's got to be something to this that we're missing, because there's just no reason under the sun that I can see that should be a $2,000 firearm.
No. No, I can't. Like, I can't get there from here. I know that there must be something. I must be missing something.
And that's why I'm going to have to go look this up later, because I have to figure out if I'm missing something.
Well, if you find out, let me know, because I can't figure it out from here. I'm obviously missed a meeting of some sort.
The best part about it is that this is $2,000 and it says it's on sale.
Oh, you spoil me. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, I have to click on this to see what the original price was. No, it doesn't tell me.
Well, we're going to check that out and see you next time here.
Sorry, I had to go on a rant on that one.
No, it's a fantastic rant to have, because I don't know. I honestly don't know. Like, and maybe some, like, after they hear this, and between the time that this releases and now, and I might have to split up this cast, but but maybe somebody can write in and tell us like what it is about that Smith that makes it $800 more valuable than every other rifle in its category. like any other manufacturer you can pick, Winchester, Marlin, Browning.
Well, if you told me it was a $1,000 gun, I wouldn't buy it. But at I'd the same understand. Time, I wouldn't be floored.
Right. I mean, you're just like, what are you doing? Why?
I'm looking at it and trying to figure out who's looked at that price tag and went, oh, I got to have one of those.
Now we live in crazy town. You can get a Browning lever action. Browning. No joke. Browning lever action. In any kind of wood or finish you want for $1,300. Like, why?
So once again, I have to be missing something.
We are missing something. Right? Like we've missed a meeting somewhere. I don't know what we did, but we're missing something. Like there's somebody screaming at their podcast right now, like listening in their headphones at work or something like that, or wherever they're listening, going, no, it's this, dumbasses. And I truly do not know what it is. Because every other manufacturer I'm checking, I'm like checking Browning, I check Winchester, I check Marlin, I checked Henry, everyone.
I'm just looking at the website that I get all the emails from because it tends to be the best prices I've seen on a lot of these places lately. So quite frankly, at the cheapest location I can find recently, they want $2,000 for this thing. $1,999.99.
Yeah, which is $600 to $800 more expensive than every other rifle of similar build and format on the market. I don't understand. make this make sense to me. Because I mean,
they're not even like advertising it as like a 30-30 precision hunting rifle or something. It's just like, no, this is great for target shooting or hunting. It's great.
You're like, okay, why? Is it just because it has the S&W on the side? Because if that's it, I'd rather have the Henry on the side, to be quite honest. Or Browning, or Winchester, or hell, Marlin, for crying out loud. Like, any of them. Not for that amount of money. I just, like, and I have two lever action. Like, I love a lever action gun. You know, I have two of them. I have both the Marlin and the Henry.
Well, I think that's the one style of firearm that you and I thoroughly agree on.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
I mean, because I tend to be more of a handgun guy. You tend to be more of a shotgun guy. But the one thing that you and I agree on is the awesomeness of lever action rifles.
Fantastic. Yeah, fantastic firearms. Always have been. Very reliable. Now, we may differ on our caliber of choice. However, we both have 44 mags. That's true. Because I love that round. In a rifle, in a carbine, that is a fantastic round to have. I mean, it'll do anything. Anything. It'll do a bear if you want to. It'll do elk. It'll do moose if you're careful. although I would never shoot a moose. Like, I'd be too afraid I was going to piss off the moose, you know? Can it turn around and look at me like, are you freaking kidding me? Have you ever seen that video of the moose, like, running in the snow past the dude, and you realize that it's a locomotive moving 40 miles an hour in 3 feet of snow, and it's not slowing down?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to get anywhere near that animal. I'm sorry. That is God's chosen animal for that region.
I think there's one out there where they're running in the snow and you had some guy in a pickup truck and you whoever's recording is yelling, faster, damn it, faster. You're in the background, I can't.
Because they can lope at 45 miles an hour. You know, you're just like, oh God, please. Don't let this thing get anywhere near me. I mean, they're just terrifying. They're just terrifying. No. But I mean, you could do anything around Texas.
This is the type of thing that grizzly bears look at and go, I'm not that hungry.
Yeah, I'm not that interested. You know what? You do you today. I don't want anything to. But anything in Texas is definitely doable with a 44 mag. You know, under 100 yards. Yep. Yep. Absolutely fine. you know, and for the stuff that it's 200 yards out, I have the 30-30 for that. So that's, and that's about as far as I can see. So I'm fine with that. I mean, we had a hog the other day that was kind of encroaching on our area, and it was about 120 yards away, and we were sitting there on top of, we had no rifle with us. We were sitting on two shotguns with, now I had buckshot in my pocket, you know, just a double-aught buck. And we're like, well, if he gets within 40 yards, we'll do something about it. But if he stays over there, I don't really care, you know. It was a big hog.
I still, every time you talk about that, the first thing that comes to mind is barbecue.
That's some good eating, though, dude. It really is. I love the guys who think
that guy comes within shot range of me, and I'm thinking dinner time.
They are fantastic. Like, you fire up the smoker and get you some, you know. What I love is the guys who, like, have never really seen how big a hog can get and how mean they are. Like, well, I got my 9mm. I'm like, that's not going to do enough, okay? Like, I've seen them just get pissed off with a 9mm, with multiple 9mm in them.
Hell, if you're, even if you're going to take an AR, you got to jump up to a 308 in that thing.
Yeah, like you need a lot with a hog, like a lot. They are a lot hardier than you think they are.
If you see those people flying around the helicopters doing during hog hunts with an AR, that's not a 5.56. That's a 308 AR-10.
Yeah, it's a big boy. Now 30-30 you'll do just fine with those. So will a 44 mag if you're under the, you know, like I would say under 80 yards, it'll do fine. What you don't want to do is wuss out the round. Okay. Like a 223 is not enough. it's not enough. I'm just telling you, I've seen them get back up and start charging you at with a 223. Like, you better hope you get in the eye. It's not enough, you know, which is why
Better keep pulling the trigger. One of the,
yeah, exactly. You better do some follow-ups.
double tap, man. Double tap.
I hope the next round is Dragon's Breath, because you're in trouble. But regardless, you got anything else for after this rambling mess we've done?
I do not.
Right on. We will see you guys next time. And as always, thank you for listening.
On behalf of Jake Buona and I, thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. If you're interested in more content like this or podcasts, check us out at hawkseyeguns.com. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.